Good afternoon, everyone. Good evening, America. You're back with Radio Tony Everyday Business, and we are tackling trauma with Tracy and Tony. Now, just a reminder that you can jump on to radiotony.com and find out all about any of the shows that we have, and also any of the connections that we talk about during the show. Also, Tracy and I have, Tracy has a wonderful book that I encourage you to get if you're dealing with trauma called The Unhappy Smile. Again, the details of how to connect and get Tracy's book is on the website. And we also have a downloadable trauma workbook available under Radio Tony, the resources section, and under co-host. Now, a reminder today that we are not psychologists, but we do have decades of experience in dealing with trauma, both personally and professionally. And another warning that this may trigger in you the discussions that we talk about today. If it does, please seek help immediately. There's plenty of help out there, plenty of people to reach out to, and I encourage you, if it triggers anything in you today, please reach out for help. So, just a reminder, Tracy has had over 30 years of experience dealing with trauma, and she's been helping people, men and women, across the planet be the best version of themselves and deal with childhood trauma and other traumas in life. Tracy's story encompasses a very traumatic childhood from domestic violence, alcoholism, and a whole range of things that no child should have to endure. Whilst my childhood didn't contain elements of sexual abuse, it was pretty dysfunctional. I was born with a congenital facial defect, and I don't often think about it. And the only reason I talk about it again today is when I was researching for this show and delving into the effects of childhood trauma and what contributes to childhood trauma, one of those things was extreme illness and bullying, and that constitutes childhood trauma. And it doesn't actually matter what the trauma is, it still affects our bodies and our brains in the same way in childhood. So just a recap, trauma is an emotional response to a terrible event, an accident, an assault, a natural disaster. And for children, that may encompass anything from bullying to family abuse to sexual abuse and to divorce, etc., etc. Immediately after the shock, there's often immediately after the event, rather, there's often shock and denial. And longer term, the reactions could include unpredictable emotions, bad dreams, nightmares, flashbacks, strained relationships, and physical symptoms, including nausea and trauma. So for us, it's impossible to talk about trauma, and particularly childhood trauma, without talking about discussion. There is a wealth of research and information that talks about how childhood trauma links to adult depression and dysfunction. And I know that you've probably heard this before, but the body keeps a score. And childhood trauma often presents itself in really nasty health issues and mental health issues in our adulthood. So I'm going to hand over to Tracy now to talk a little bit more about her story and how her childhood trauma played out in her life.
Hey, Tony. Hey, everybody listening. You know, this is a subject that's so close to my heart because I wish with all my heart I was the only person that held this story. But unfortunately, I'm not. Unfortunately, after 30 years of being in this field of working with people, there is way too many people that have suffered at the hands of domestic violence, sexual abuse, bullying, hate crimes, being ostracized and all that stuff. And like you say, Tony, it does nothing more than creates this little hole in your heart that eventually fills up with depression. Because as a child under the age of 7, we are absolute sponges. And for me, a lot of my trauma around sexual abuse and domestic violence was happening at that time. And so by the time I was 7 years of age, I understood I meant nothing. And by 7 years of age, we have made up a lot of our decisions. And unfortunately, we repeat the decisions because when we're subject to them in our homes, we don't have the ability to work out that they're wrong. We take them on board for a really long time. So we often go into our adulthood, our early adolescence, late adolescence, early adulthood, believing the facts of those things when they're just not true. And that, Tony, is why the depression sets in, because we go into the most powerful time of our lives just defeated. And it's so sad.
Absolutely, Tracy. And the thing is, too, that in that those key moments and years in our childhood, we look at our parents or the caregivers around us, and we are solely dependent on them for meeting our basic needs. And we look to them, we love them, and we love them from that childhood perspective that they are all that we have. And often it's not until we reach our adult years that we start to unpack some of this stuff around childhood trauma. And I know for you, one of the key moments that happened was when you were already out at work and someone, your boss took you under the wing, and it was at that point that you started to realize that there was something very wrong. Up until that point, everything that you did and knew, you thought was normal. That's often the case with childhood trauma. You don't realize how abnormal or dysfunctional it is until you start to have those adult brain processes going on. So, Trace, I love the story about the boss that took you under your wing and how he helped you start on healing your trauma.
Yeah. So basically, I was drinking at work, which I don't advocate for anybody. But, you know, to be honest with you, sometimes we have coping mechanisms. And back then, I needed those coping mechanisms. I really did. And I don't make out that it's a good thing or a healthy thing, but it was what I was doing. And my boss caught me and asked me what I was doing. And I said, having breakfast. I was putting Baileys in my coffee, and I had lots of jokey lines. I had lots of throwaway lines, as people do. You know, we mask. When we are self-medicating, we always mask, because we know. You know, Tony, I've never met a person who doesn't know where they're at, who doesn't know that they're going through it. But we mask, and we mask to protect everybody else, and we mask to protect ourselves, because you and I both know that point of vulnerability where you step in and say, hey, it's me that's not well, that is a really scary place. And if you don't have a support system, you are really sunk. And so he took me under his wing, took me into his office, and sent me to a psychologist that we had on site, because we had a really large staff of over 500. And for the first time in my life, I told the story. And I don't even know how the psychologist got it out of me, but he did. And I'll never forget, he put his papers down. He was writing on a bit of paper in a book, and he put it down, and he said to me, Tracy, you can't be helped. He said, you'll need to be medicated, and I expect you to not contribute to society and be dead by 30. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, I'm 18 years of age and my life's over. And you know, Tony, can I just say to everybody listening that sometimes people will say hard stuff and you won't want to hear it, but if you take it on and just really ask yourself, like at that point, when I tell that story now, people shake their heads like, how could he? But the woman sitting before you today is nowhere near the 18-year-old she was. That 18-year-old has been healed and silenced and put to bed, and she no longer has to front up and protect me in any way, shape, or form. So, you know, I think the important thing for people to understand is that sometimes when others talk to us, it's like an invitation, and we have to, and I took it as such, and I began my journey. And my journey is in the book that you talk about, The Unhappy Smile.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful nine chapter, very easy to read book, which just tells exactly the nine things I did to go from her to me.
Yeah. And so that leads us to the discussion about the linkages between adult depression and childhood trauma, or trauma in general. So it's well researched, it's well documented, and it's understood. It's a given, it's a fact that if you have trauma, particularly childhood trauma, and you don't have the help to heal from it, then the chances of you getting a deep, dark depression are incredibly high. And Tracy, you and I both know that statistics around depression across the planet, it's in epidemic proportions. And therefore, you need to understand for those listeners that that is a burden of disease on the planet. So dealing with and looking after people with depression has a cost to society. And so what we'd like to achieve is to start people having a conversation about the things that lead to depression, in the hope that you will seek help and healing and not contribute to those numbers of depression. Now, everyone's a little bit different, and depression looks like different things to different people. But essentially, it's way more than a dark mood. Depression is something that lasts for more than a couple of weeks, where you're having trouble sleeping, where your mood is depressed and down. You may or may not be crying. The world looks dark, painful, and horrible, and this lasts for longer than 2 weeks. That's the technical description of depression. And you can live with that for many years. So for me, I actually lived with that state as what I thought was normal for at least 20 years. The problem with living that way is that eventually your brain catches up. And in my case, it went, whoa, 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 enough. And I had a breakdown. And when I say breakdown, I got to the point where I stopped functioning at all. And but for the guidance of a doctor, would I have ended my life? So that's how bad it can get if it's left untreated. And for me, there was a stigma around admitting that I had depression. There was a stigma around what caused that depression, and I fought it. But at the end of the day, my body and my brain said, enough. You can't go on like this. So it's either fix and heal, or we don't have a good outcome. And for those of you that have ever experienced suicidal thoughts and those dark feelings, they're horrible, Trace. They're really horrible. And at the end of that is the thought, I just want the pain and darkness to stop. That's all you want. For me, suicide wasn't about hurting anyone. I just wanted the pain to stop. I wanted to stop hurting. I wanted to stop the tears. I wanted to stop feeling like a worthless piece of shit. And that was what depression looked like for me. Had I not sought help right there and then, which I am incredibly grateful for, I don't think I would be here today. And I guess that's part of the message today, Trace, is that there is help. You can do this. You can get out of depression. You can work on it. From my perspective, I live with it every day. I manage it completely differently than I did before. And Tracy, you know that there's things that we have to do that maintain our life and our life balance. And for me, it was a 10-year journey to find those things and to slowly start implementing them. And that was in combination with lots of talking to people. And that's why I'm so passionate about talking to people today, because I don't want anyone else to feel in that place that I was. If I could prevent one person dipping down into that very dark, horrible place, I would do it in an instant. And Tracy, you know exactly where that spot is, and you too. I know that you agree with me that if we can reach out and just give one person in that dark space hope, that's what we want to do today. I know that you have very personal stories around the blackness and darkness of depression, so I'm going to hand over to you to continue with that discussion as well.
Tony, I'm so glad you didn't do it. And, you know, I think people listening here, they realise that when someone in their family is in trouble, the key message is they don't want you to do it. The problem is that depression tells you two things. It tells you that it's not worth it and that it was all your fault. And so you can't hear the other voices. And as you know, because you're a close friend of mine off air, that I have had a personal relationship with depression and attempted suicide this year. And it blew me away at how well it was masked. You know, it was somebody quite close to me and I didn't pick it up at all. And what I really want to talk about today is the fact that depression is hopelessness. And if you are getting if you are waking up any day of your life feeling hopeless, what's the point? It doesn't matter if you have nothing or if you have everything. If you have that attitude of hopelessness, then I need to tell you today, you have to get help. Depression cannot be conquered on your own, because what happens with depression is when it starts, our serotonin, our happy hormones, go to work to hold it under wraps. And that's what happened for you, Tony. That's what happened to my close relative. And they coped for a couple of years. But eventually serotonin wears out. Our body will stop making it when we are depressed. And this is the stuff no one teaches us. We should be learning this stuff in school. Don't tell the kids how to make an omelet. Tell them how to deal with their mental health. For goodness sake, because if you are feeling hopeless, if you've felt hopeless for a year or more, your body isn't making serotonin, you can't get happy now. Listen, you can't get healthy. So what happens is everything else in your body goes to work to try and help that. And when they can't do that, they crash. And you get so close to a nervous breakdown, you either have a chemical nervous breakdown and end up being medicated, or at that point, your body says, go, and people suicide. And you know, Tony, you and I are sitting in Australia today right now, in a country that I'm very proud to call home, but we have the highest suicide rate for men aged 18 to 27 in the world. We beat Iraq, we beat Russia, where they can't get jobs, and that to me just speaks of depression. You know, 57% of the world is on depression medication. And I know some people
that's
need
frightening.
It is frightening, because that means more than one in two is now depressed. And what that speaks to is that we're not talking about this enough. We're not helping each other enough.
Correct.
But can I just say that if you are having that, if you get up and you're screaming inside of you, what the hell is going on? Then please reach out and talk to someone. And I would like to give three really definite points of advice, both to the American and the Australian listeners. Number one, make a relationship with a GP. Do not go to a 24-hour place. Because the family member of mine went to a 24-hour GP and got 100 tablets. So do not go to them. Go make a relationship with your local GP and start talking to them. The second thing is understand that you're being lied to. Just try and remember that nobody would be happier if you left. Nobody wants you to go. Nobody wants you to bow out. So therefore, there's hope. There's people that can help you. There is people. You know, Tony, I could not imagine my life without you. And I think if you ever got back to that stage again, I would move heaven and earth. I would clear my bank account. I would do whatever it took. And I think the problem with depression is people stop believing that, but it's still true.
Yeah.
It's still true.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, find somebody who loves you enough to remind you of that. I know for you, you have an incredible husband who is a beautiful support for you and reminds you of that daily, which is so lovely.
He does.
You know, and the third thing is, stop being strong and stop doing it on your own, because you can't help yourself. depression isn't something you can heal. And when depression showed up for me in my story, you know, the fact that my dad and yes. my mum were hurting me way when they should have been nurturing me, you know, when that showed up, I really had to get someone else to help me, because depression occurs because some trauma you didn't want shows up and creates a change you can't live with. That's what it is. That's what creates
depression.
Absolutely. And so if yeah. you have a trauma that shows up you don't want, you didn't ask for, and it creates a change you can't live with, you can't be your solution. So you have to get help.
You have to be outside of yourself.
You do. One of the things I always say to the people that see me, I always say, you cannot see the picture if you're inside the frame. You have to talk to someone.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is that I want to point out about depression is that if you seek help sooner rather than later, you might circumvent that need for medication. So in my case, it had gone on for so long that there was no chance that my brain would manufacture the serotonin that I needed to live a happy life. So I have to take medication. I openly and honestly say that to you, but you don't have to. If you allow yourself to get the help before it gets to that point where your brain shuts down. So that's the difference. For me, my brain shut down, and the words my GP used to me that day were, you must stop now. You must not work. You must look after your brain, because if you don't, you will not be able to stay on this planet. In other words, those horrible voices in my head, that deep, dark pain, it would have taken me. So what I want people to say is, please don't allow yourself to get to that point. Please reach out and talk to someone. Tell someone you're struggling. Tell someone that life is tough, because that's the start of it. And then, as Tracy said, see a GP. Develop a relationship with a GP who understands and knows about you and your history. They are so helpful. And then start on the journey, because you can't, like, look at the life that I now live. I get the privilege of not only co-hosting shows with amazing people like Tracy Horton, but I get to talk to a world audience and have an open, honest conversation about these tough subjects. And I don't get to do that if I hadn't done the work, had the healing, and be able to speak about it from a place of wholeness. And you can too. Don't think that this is not achievable if you're in that deep, dark place now, because I'm telling you, you can. You can live with depression. It is manageable. It is treatable. But it's not if you let it get to a place where it completely obliterates sound logic and it completely takes away any happy feelings that you feel. So if you're going through the day and there's not a single thing that makes you happy, there's not a single thing that you feel joy about, you need to see someone and talk about that. Because humans are meant to live amazingly abundant, happy lives, whatever that looks like for you. And it doesn't have to be a life like either Tracy or I live. It just needs to be happy and fulfilling for you, and whatever that looks like. So again, harking back to the burden of disease and the burden of depression, it's our desire, both Tracy's and mine, that we try and roll back the avalanche of mental health issues, one of which is depression, in our lifetime. So that's what we are passionate about, is making sure we have these conversations that make it okay for anyone who's listening to get the help that they need. And for you, it's about recognizing what it looks like and what it shows up as in your life. Now, you might be a really wonderfully professional person leading an amazing life. At the end of the day, in those quiet, dark hours, that's when it hits you. And you just think, what is life all about? And that's where people like Tracy and professional psychologists and counselors and therapists, they're able to help you get your happy back. Because life is not worth living if there's no happiness in it. And if happiness for you is something simple like it is for me, walking downstairs and cuddling one of my goats or sitting with a puppy on my lap, that's happiness for me. Happiness is a phone call to Tracy to say, man, it's been a tough day. You know, happiness for me is in the very small things, and that's achievable for each and every one of you listening to the show today. So, Tracy, I also want to talk about having just talked about some of the long-term impacts of depression, I want to touch on the subject of epigenetics. And epigenetics is the study of what gets passed down through our genes from one generation to the next. And I'm telling you guys, if there's depression in your genetic lineage, you're going to have to deal with it, either yourself or someone in your family. And so by healing and dealing with yourself, you circumvent that genetic predisposition to pass it down to family. So Tracy, I know that you talk to lots and lots of people. I want to know from your perspective, as a coach, have you seen that generational epigenetic gene factor in depression?
I definitely have. And the hard thing about it is that when a parent has struggled with it, they don't expect their child to have it, and they can still miss it. And I think that that's something that can then make the whole family really awkward. Like for me, I've been very open about the fact my father's a schizophrenic with dissociative personality. So I have been very careful in my life to deal with things as they've come up, because I understand, and I've been very careful about what I put into my body and stuff, because truly, if I became a drug user, I could become bipolar overnight, because the gene is sitting in there. Absolutely. The epigenetics has predisposed me. Now, you can never know whether you've got the gene or not. That's the thing, right? You can never know whether you've got the gene or not. Sometimes when parents can't get over depression and they've learnt to manage it, and I believe that this is probably a core issue around domestic violence, because here's the thing. Yes. When you're living with depression, you develop an addiction. It has to happen, because you are wired to get happy. And that can be an alcoholic or a workaholic. It can be self-medicating, or it can be doctor medicating. It can be always having to be on a high, always having to have the next best thing, or filling your life up with debt. You know, many people, you know, we can see the ones that are drunk, the ones taking drugs, and the ones overeating. But often people medicate with other stuff as well. And anything that's out of whack, anything that can't be given up, is an addiction. I just make it that simple with my clients. And often by the time they've come to me, there's some form of addiction they're wanting to address, and we get back to the fact that there's depression in the family. So it is very much a real thing, and because you'll never know whether the gene is there or not until it's triggered, my suggestion is always to people that don't fear depression. It comes to show us, it comes to warn us that we've gotten too much, we've been overloaded. It's just all enough now, and it's just time to really step back and heal, and you know, and not, and don't avoid it, don't hide it, because you will end up with some form of addiction to try and fix it yourself, and you can't.
Yeah. And again, it's a reminder that you know yourself better than anyone else.
Absolutely.
And if you are honest with yourself and go, oh, golly, that third bottle of wine tonight, that's probably not great for my body, mind, or spirit. Perhaps there's something going on that I'm trying to numb. So that's the other consideration around trauma, is that often people will pick something that numbs the pain. For me, I knew back then that I was probably drinking 1 to 2 bottles of red wine a night. So I was actively numbing that pain. rather than sitting with it and going, what the hell is going on here? What's going on in my brain that I need to drink to stop feeling and thinking? And often that's what it's about. You want to stop the pain, you want to stop thinking, and you don't want to feel the way you feel anymore. Again, I know from experience that talking about those feelings in particular help you dissipate or get rid of the angst around them. And though it's hard and though it can be very trying, it does help. Absolutely. I'm a great believer that shining the light on or talking about secrets, and when I say secrets, that's the secret stuff that goes on in your brain. Those are the secret conversations that you have in your mind. If you start talking to someone about what's going on in your mind, you shed a light on the secrets of the conversations in your mind, and they cease to have power over you and your life. So if you look at it from that perspective, that depression is one of those things. Some people will have it, some people won't, but there are ways of managing it, and don't be frightened. So that was the thing with me. There was a stigma around having a mental health diagnosis. And back then, my younger self didn't want the stigma of being diagnosed as having depression and anxiety. And because I didn't deal with it then, in my early 20s when it was first suggested that I might have depression, I then developed a major depressive order with a subsequent major depressive episode where I shut down. Body, mind, spirit, shut down. End of story, 12 months to get back to even remotely being able to relate and relax and be in the normal world. I don't want you to get to that place. Yeah? Tracy doesn't want you to get to that place. And so I'm actually begging you, if you're listening to this program, you must know that there are people out there to talk to, and you must talk about this, because it only gets worse. It'll either end up as a major depressive disorder and a breakdown, or you'll end your life. Those are the two outcomes in this scenario. Because eventually your brain and the chemical composition of your brain goes, enough, I can't do this anymore. And that's what happens. So if you start to seek that healing, start to talk about those feelings, you will circumvent that in most cases. I'm not saying in all cases, but I'm just, these are from lived experience and lived knowledge and understanding and research. Because once I started to get help, then I started to research. I read and I read and I read and I researched, and I found out what was happening in my brain. I found out what had led to this point in time, and I started to educate myself. And believe me, and I know Tracy will agree with me here, I think that education around any particular subject, particularly if it's got to do with you, your mind, your body, and your health, is never wasted time. It's never wasted to have, you can never have too much education. I've devoted myself to lifelong learning, and I will continue till the day that I die learning, understanding, talking, and researching, because things change all the time. So even since my 20s, the understanding of genetics around depression, the understanding around trauma, that's all changed. And so as we grow and learn, and I believe that we're heading into an amazing generation, I have to believe that what Tracy and I do has importance. I have to believe that we have the ability to make an impact on the lives of the next generation. I don't want my grandkids to suffer like this. I don't want my children to suffer like this. And I'm damn well know that Tracy doesn't want any of her family to suffer like this, which is why we are having a heartfelt conversation about the connection between childhood trauma and depression and what depression looks like. So Tracy, I just want to just reiterate that from a child's perspective, they may not actually have been aware that they were in danger at the time that the trauma was happening. And so, again, it's not often until later in life that they start to realize what that trauma was like. That's from a conscious level. However, their body will know. And some of the things that happen within our bodies when we're in an event or a traumatic period are the things like the heart racing, the raise in our blood pressure, the sweating and the nausea in the pit of our stomach. Tracy, I'm just wondering if you're okay to talk with our listeners about some of those feelings for you when you were a child.
Sure. As you said, you know, when you grow up in your home, you don't know it's different. You know, I didn't know. Yeah. I wasn't at 5 and 6 and 7 years of age when ambulances were coming and going because Dad had got violent with us or stuff like that. I didn't realise it was different to all the neighbours because I didn't have that process.
Yeah.
In fact, on my 5th birthday, you know, in New Zealand you start school on your 5th birthday, and it was the first time someone had sung me happy birthday, and I didn't really know why they were doing it. And then I found out it was my birthday. And then as you start to integrate, and I think this is the really sad part about society, is that as we begin to integrate, there has to be school people, there has to be chaplains and social workers and mental health workers at all the schools now, all the schools, America and Australia wide, have to have this stuff implemented. Because what happens is you begin to discover that everything is different. And so you begin to retreat because you're different.
Yes.
So yes. I began to retreat. I mean, you know me, Tony, you and I have socialized a lot. I was the quietest kid in my class. Can you believe that? No, nobody can believe that. But I was really quiet. I was quiet. I was withdrawn. And that is so not my personality. I was completely masking because I thought if anybody asks me a question, I don't know how to answer it. I lied. I lied about eating. I just, you know, I made out that I didn't need to eat because we couldn't to have lunch. I did a whole lot of other stuff. And as I went into my teenage years, I developed slower than everybody else because I was malnourished. So, you know, I'm getting boobs later. I'm menstruating later. I'm doing all this stuff later. But I've got these 2 years where everybody else is blossoming around me and I'm getting bullied because I'm the small kid. I was always little. And then I start to find out that people are saying, you know, what is wrong with you? And, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, so it just snowballs for people. And I think that's the really sad part about it. My granddaughter is living with us, as you know. She's 13 and a half. Her mum's married, not to her dad. She doesn't know who her dad is. She was a result of rape. It didn't work for her living with her mum and her husband, and so she's with us. She goes to a school here in Australia. She's in year 8, so she's nearly 14. 82% of those kids are medicated. But here we are in 2020.
And we could avoid that.
I know. But here's the thing, Tony. In 2020, that kid is getting bullied for living with her grandparents. Now, you know Paul and I. We live in a great home. We are financially secure, we're lovely looking people, like we're not, you know, like I pick her up in a great car and she's still bullied. What's, you know what they say?
Yes.
What's wrong with you? Why didn't your mum want you? That's what they said to her last week. That's what two girls at school said to her last week. And she is currently getting counselling because I'm not going to have this manifest. I'm not going to have her get an eating disorder. I'm not going to have her rushing into the arms of some idiot kid at 16 trying to fill that spot. Yes. I've got her into counselling. We're very open and talking about this, and it's just time. Because the chances are your mental health is here to stay. And if you control it, if you look after it, good on you. You know, we don't, you know, if I told you I was a diabetic, it would mean it wouldn't bother you. But if I told you I had bipolar, it should be the same. You know, it should be
absolutely
the same. It should be absolutely the same. It really should. And then the most incredible things about my body was that when I started to eat properly, when I left school and I got a job, my body gained weight because it didn't know how to metabolize and I had to retrain it. How's that?
Yes.
Crazy stuff.
We underestimate how our body reacts to trauma. And if it's not depression, then it's going to be something else. It's going to manifest itself in any of the autoimmune disorders because, again, I've said it before, I'll say it again, your body keeps score. You might think that you'd be able to mask it. You might think that you're going to be able to hide it. I'm here to tell you, doesn't work because it will manifest in some level of chronic illness later in your life. So best you deal with that in your prime in prime years or in early high school and negate the need to have a chronic mental illness and or a chronic physical disease. And I'm absolutely agree with Tracy that we need to have more engaged teachers and parents working in those areas that openly talk about this is what mental health looks like. This is what looking after your mental health looks like. Those conversations with teenagers that what does a going for a run mean? A going for a run keeps your physical body health, but more importantly, it helps your brain. We've got to start thinking of our brain and our mental health as a key component of our body and our body health. We're getting better at the whole health and exercise. We need to transfer that now and include mental health and mind-body health because they're so linked, aren't they, Tracy?
Absolutely. They're so intertwined, you can't separate them. To be honest with you, you really can't. And
agreed.
It's crazy that we tried and we've been trying for 30 years, you know, and
yes,
I tell you now, the professional athletes will tell you that game is won before they get on the field, because in their minds, yes, they've already won it. You know, like professional athletes understand this, high achievers understand this, international entrepreneurs that make $1 billion by the time they're 50, they understand it, but we all need to understand it. It's completely intertwined.
Yes.
And always will be. Always will be.
Absolutely. So for the listeners, and I'm pretty sure that there's not many younger people listening. The majority of our audience is our adults. However, just some of the signs and symptoms of depression, I'd just like to quickly run through just so that if you hear any of these and you recognize them in yourself, it might just trigger you to start having that conversation. So some of the behaviors of depression include not going out anymore, not getting things done at work or school, withdrawing from close friends and family, relying on alcohol, drugs, or other medication to get through daily life, not doing your usual enjoyable activities, unable to concentrate. For me, that inability to concentrate looked like a big black fog over my brain, and it stayed around for a good 12 months before it started to lift. And I know this because I felt it lifting. And when it started to lift, I was amazed at the brightness and beautifulness of the world. But the depression robbed me of that light and beauty. And that's what it does. So if you're looking at life and thinking that there's not much good, talk to someone. The up feelings include overwhelmed, guilty, irritable, frustrated, lacking in confidence, unhappy, indecisive, disappointed, miserable, and sad. Any combination of those. Some of the thoughts that might be running through your mind include, I'm a failure. It's my fault. Nothing good ever happens to me. I'm worthless. Life is not worth living. People would be better off without me. If you have that script running in your head, please, please, please talk to someone. Because you are worthy, you are amazing exactly as you are. There's no one else in this world as unique as you, and you deserving of love and abundance and an amazing life, whatever that looks like for you. You are never, ever, ever worthless. ever. Physically, you might feel tired, sick, run down, headaches. Can I tell you that I suffered from migraines until I got treatment for my depression, and I rarely even have a headache now? Hardly ever. And I had migraines so bad that I was hospitalized with the pain. So some of you may be manifesting trauma and depression in ways that you're not aware of, which is why I want to talk about them today. And finally, if any of those things are happening in your life and you still may be functioning at a very high level, that's okay. But please talk to someone. Reach out and talk to Tracy. She's so good at helping people recognize things. Reach out to your GP. She will give the same advice as we both give, that you need to have a combination of an experienced medical practitioner and therapy, counseling, and work. The combination of the two will see you out the other side. Tracy, the other thing that I just wanted to bring in lastly was that this can happen to anyone. It doesn't necessarily relate to childhood trauma, does it?
No, it can be any moment that something comes and creates something you can't process, basically. and it can happen at any time. And it will happen without you knowing. That's the thing.
Yes.
So by the time you know it, by the time you're listening to what Tony just read out and you realize, hey, I can tick six of those, you have depression. You have it. You're not getting it.
Yes.
It's not circling the drain.
You got
it. It's home. It's home. And can I just say for 2 minutes, because I have lived through this just recently.
Yes.
If you think someone in your life has it, these are the three things I have learned now to watch out for. Number one, they'll be very inconsistent to their true nature. The person in my life that did it, they became despondent, and they're not a despondent person. They were this happy-go-lucky, overachieving person who became angry and unassociated. Number two, they will give up caring about themselves. That was a real thing that I realized I had missed seeing. They give up about their appearance. They give up about the car. They give up about the housework. And honestly, if you're noticing this in some of your family, you need to talk to them today. And the third thing is they make excuses for the addiction they've got. I know with this one, it was drinking. And I went to a event with this person, and they had a drink at 11 a.m. in their car and made a joke of it. And I remember, you know, when I look back, I think there were moments where I thought, this isn't that person. And if you've had that, because your family's involved, you know, if you've had that around family members or friends, please speak to them today. Talk to them today, because they have depression. And I think it's, you know, Tony, I think I do a checkup every couple of months with myself, because depression is the thing that sneaks in. Because when you live a big life, no matter what goes on, you know, as you know, for me this year, I've had a lot of stuff go on with my children, including one of them losing a child, and one of them having cervical cancer. So those are big deals. They're big deals.
They
so I'm checking in with myself. I'm checking in with friends like you and another friend that I have that's a qualified psychologist. I'm checking in all the time, because that stuff just comes in, and I don't want to wake up one morning and think, I'm not getting up. I'm not getting up. You know, life isn't meant for that. You know, and I think, you know, please, if you hear nothing more today, it's normal. It happens to most of us. So just talk about it. Just get help. Just speak into the lives of the people that you think you're noticing. This person in my life, Tony, I asked them for the last 6 months before they attempted suicide, I asked them regularly, are you okay? And every time they looked at me and said, I am, but I knew better. So I want to encourage people that in love, you can push some boundaries. Or you can buy them a book like mine. You can download them, our free book. You can buy them your book. You can get them round to your place and have this show on at that time next week. You know, there are things you can do. Please get actively involved, because at the end of the day, we do not want to live without them.
That's right. And we don't want to hear any more of those stories where people were concerned, but someone's taken their life and they realize retrospectively, oh my God, I should have done, I could have done, you know.
Yeah.
Get involved, ask those tough questions. And I know that I have people around me that keep an eye on me. And I'm always grateful for that, because I know that I had major depression, and therefore I must be alert to it sneaking up on me again. And Tracy's so right. It kind of just sneaks up on you. You'll be, I have a big life, as Tracy does. I have a big life, a big, busy life. I know that come weekend, that time is sacred, and I will shut everything else out and focus on doing the things that I know that will rejuvenate me, fill my cup up, and get me through this great big life that I'm so lucky to live. And for people who are listening today, we can't say it enough. Reach out, ask someone, read something, get some help. Because if we don't start turning the tide of mental health, illness, and depression across the globe, we are not going to be a very functional world. I don't want that for our generations. There's going to be enough for them to deal with without the stigma around mental health. And we, again, are really passionate about helping people raise the profile of getting help around any sort of mental illness. And we particularly focused on trauma because so much of this relates to trauma. Trauma impacts our mind and body, and we need to be aware that it's going to do that, that it does that, do that, but that there is help. Don't live with it. Don't put up with it. Don't mask. Get some help. So Tracy, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can connect with you and where they can buy your book.
Okay, so I have a website, tracyhorton.com, T-R-A-C-E-Y-H-O-R-T-O-N, one word, .com, and they can simply go on there. They can contact me either through there or through my author page on Facebook. I'm on all of the things, and I have a team that's forever checking everything. I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, you know, as you are, as we all are. And I have a team that watches that. So the minute you respond to either the website or any of those places, it is alerted, it's put in a diary within the office, and I'm notified, and I will make time for people. Because I believe this, I believe that a 30-minute conversation with somebody who can help you can actually save about 10 years of grief if you're ready. And I think Absolutely. That people should get ready. So I love to help. And this year, as you know, Tony, as with you, with COVID being around, you know, a lot of us are offering pro bono hours. We understand people are, you know, both our countries are about to go to the polls. Both our countries,
yes.
America and Australia, we're going to the polls. We're in lockdown. We're in COVID, you know. So this year, a lot of us are offering pro bono hours. So it isn't going to cost people to have that 20-minute, 30-minute phone call. The book, you know, as I said, for every copy purchased, I give one away in their name to somebody who's at risk, and they can send me a quick email if they want to nominate someone, if they want that to be someone in their home, town, or their family. We have a great mailing system here in Australia. Those books can be in the States within about 7 days, so it's not difficult. I suggest everybody downloads that free trauma ebook.
Workbook.
You know, workbook. That's a really brilliant tool. You have a lot of stuff on your website too. The thing is that we're available, we want help, we've got everything we need, so people just need to reach out and do it. And
absolutely.
There's plenty of time for everybody.
Correct. And also, besides Tracy, Tracy and I both know other people that we can send you to as well. So don't think that it's just Tracy and I. There are lots of people willing, ready and able to help at any time. So my wonderful listeners, that is the end of our show for this week, which has gone incredibly fast. Thank you for joining us this week on Tackling Trauma with Tracy and Tony on Radio Tony. And please reach out. If anything that we've said today has triggered you, we just want you to reach out and get the help that you deserve. Remember, you are worthy. You are worthy of a happy, healthy life, and we're here to help you get that. So that's our lot for this week. I'm Tony Lontis from Radio Tony, and I have with me the gorgeous Tracy Horton, and we will be back next week live at the same time for our Australian audience. We will be 1 hour different, so it'll be 1 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, but the same time in the US, and we look forward to seeing you all at 7 p.m. Pacific Time next week on bbsradio.com. Thank you, everyone, and bye, Tracy.
Bye.